I'm absolutely delighted to see you all in here, guys. I know that you've travelled up from... Is it Leeds you've come from today?
Yeah.
It is. Oh, it's been hard.
It's been hard.
Sitting on the motorway for 3 hours.
Oh.
Sad life.
Well, you must be one of the longest going political anarchist bands in the whole world.
Hmm. Yeah.
Possibly. It's a small niche, that.
You did well narrowing that down.
Yeah.
When you started, I thought it was going to be really insulting.
I did. Well, some of the oldest people who
I've ever met in my life. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's not where I was going. I know quite a bit about the band from way back, from benefit gigs and festivals and stuff like that. So you've come a long way on that path. But when you started... Is that kind of a formulating date, you know, when Chumbawamba began, when you all came together as friends and musicians?
The first gig was 1982 on Elvis Presley's birthday, January the 8th. And it bore absolutely no relation to what we sound like now, obviously. It was a completely different thing. But that's when the idea got going, yeah. Yeah.
So what were your influences then? Are they the same as now? How did it sort of begin as a musical journey?
It was a very post-punk thing. The influences were bands like The Fall and Wire and Crass and The Clash and stuff like that. And but it's interesting because we were never just boxed into one thing. We always loved so many different kinds of things that it made what we wanted to do really eclectic anyway. We, even from the very first gig, we were showing films and trying to do songs with harmonies and trying to do little sort of nursery rhymey type things. We could never just be a proper, rock and roll band.
Well, you've managed to go from being one of the most alternative bands, if you like, to one of the most mainstream bands, which I think is quite a transition to go through. And you've come out the other end as well. So, just listening to the new CD, which has got an incredibly long title, I have to say, but it's a very interesting title. You don't seem to have lost your political edge at all. Far from it, in fact.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So just talk me through a bit about what kind of things get you goat or get you writing, then.
Well, you just have to switch the radio on in the morning, really, and you're off, I mean, it's whatever's... It's the world and the people running the world and what's going on. You don't have to look very far to find inspiration.
I think it's fascinating that so many millions of people writing songs can write about the same things over and over again. When we live in a world where like the idea that you get all these sort of bankers who a lot of them are losing their jobs and they have to. The lovely images of them leaving their offices, and you just think, which is incredibly funny on the one hand, but also the fact that all the top executives have all come out of it with the sort of £1.5 million pensions and stuff. Just think, well, how can we not write a song about that? It's just, it's what's on everybody's lips. Everybody's thinking about it. Everyone's talking about it. So you write a song about it. No. So I go home and write a song about how I'm in love with this girl. And
yeah, but when you fall in love, it feels like no one's ever felt like
before.
You feel.
Yeah, but
they have.
Yeah, but then you have to do it. Every time, again and again and again. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You sound like Steve Cram, but you look like Paul Nicholas. And it's sort of disturbing me a bit.
I suppose it's better that way around, possibly, than the other way around. You might sound like Paul Nicholas.
You were all thinking it, weren't you?
That weren't a question.
He was like Paul Nicholas. Yeah.
Well.
Good job this is radio.
It's live radio.
Listeners, he is blushing.
I am. Now, look, that. Some of the titles of your records, never mind the content, they'll tell the listener who maybe doesn't know too much about Chumbawamba. There are books, CDs, Portraits of Anarchists, For a Free Humanity, Amnesia, Top of the World, Uneasy Listening, The ABCs of Anarchy, English Rebel Songs, Slapsh, refers to Time Bomb, Homophobia, Criminal Injustice, You Ugly Houses. you've got some great titles. So is it fair to say that you are still largely anarchist in your leanings?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It's funny because the reading that list of song titles or album titles, whatever, if you didn't know anything about the band and you'd never seen us live and you hadn't heard any records other than Tub Thumping or whatever, I think that you would think they sound like a dour, boring bunch of people who just rant on mindless slogans.
Take themselves far too seriously.
Yeah, and it's not like that at all, really. Yeah, but I think it is good to you know. In this day and age, I know I said this earlier, but, you know, to state your claim for saying, look, we have got something to say, we have got politics, because I think it's terrible how artists run away from the idea that you can talk about politics nowadays, in this country especially. It's a real no-no, it's a real thing that you... Oh, no, if you're singing about politics, then you must be boring. And, you know, we've never ascribed to that view at all.
Politically incorrect to talk about politics.
Yeah, absolutely,
I think you can do the... There's a certain sort of general, generic, safe, liberal things like poverty in a global, you know, like global poverty and hunger. You know what I mean? There's some sort of overarching, quite hard to actually define what it's really about.
Tibet was almost one for the Tibet's Millionaires good, Pop like, Stars Club for a while, but that seems to have disappeared now.
We like Tibet, don't we, because it's all, you know, chanting monks.
Yeah,
and
it's fluffy and nice, yeah.
Well, we'll come back to you two in Tibet. Do you think we could get a live one from you then, guys, before the news?
Let's try.
Dancing with the Captain, then.
Sorry.
What are we doing? What are we going to do now?
We're
going to
do...
Use the
ladder. Yeah. Yeah? Okay. Should we just launch straight into it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stand up. I won't. Listen close to this crooked mouth, for my story I will tell. Oh, I lived in Mexico by the name of Wenceslao Miguel. Oh, left my home in Santiago, the heart of the city of Merida. Served with my brothers and sisters all for the army of Pancho Villa. Stand me straight against the nearest wall. Line up your bravest soldiers, oh. 10 good shots, I'll take them all. They call me a fusilado. The Federalists captured me, bound up my arms with wire. Officer came, he said, take your aim, steady your guns and fire. Bullet holes all across my chest, ripped up my shirt and my body, oh. Heartbeat on through the silence guns, to the rhythm of life inside me, oh. Stand me straight against the nearest wall, line up your bravest soldiers, oh. 10 good shots, I'll take them all. They call me a fusilado. Fell to the ground, the officer came. One last shot to the head, oh. Heard through the pain as he walked away and left me there for dead, oh. All went quiet, so I crawled away. I wasn't giving up to the glory. 10 good shots, I took them all and lived to tell my story. Stand me straight against the nearest wall. Line up your bravest soldiers, oh. 10 good shots, I'll take them all. They call me a fusilado. Stand me straight against the nearest wall. Line up your bravest soldiers, oh. 10 good shots, I'll take them all. They call me a fusilado. Stand me straight against the nearest wall. Line up your bravest soldiers, oh. 10 good shots, I'll take them all. They call me a fusilado. Woo!
Thank you.
Well, I think that is a cracker from the album. That the name of that one, guys?
All fur coat and no knickers. One of my favourite expressions.
What's going on there with the Edge?
Oh, poor Edge.
I don't know, it's just...
I mean, that song's basically about the idea that just these, we live in an age where personality, fame is what everybody aspires to, fame for its own sake. And that these famous people, like, you know, like Victoria Beckham, she's just famous, and she just turns up and people go, wow, she's famous. And she's not actually doing anything useful for anyone.
Whereas the Edge does play a fine guitar. No, he does. Sorry, that sounded really condescending, but he does. He's not famous for just being famous, is he?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
He's
famous for his delay pedal.
Exactly.
Well, if Band Aid and all of that's had a few mentions from you guys in the past, so what are your feelings generally then about some of the things that you celebs get up to? Because you could argue that you're also celebs, of course.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to argue quite hard, I think, to make that one convincing. We're sort of, you know, League Division
Z-list.
3. Yeah, Z-list.
Yeah. I think Bono's idea of... you know, being really concerned about trying to change the world for the better, which is absolutely laudable. It's great, you know, it's fine. But the idea that you can do it by going and shaking hands with George Bush and the Pope and all manner of sort of, you know, state-appointed mass murderers is just ludicrous. Because I think rock and roll and, in fact, a lot of music, I think its role is to challenge authority and to challenge the way things are, not to go and suck up to it and shake hands with it and... I mean, I just think it's really disappointing that rock music has got to a point where it plays the Queen's Golden Jubilee and it does the Republican inauguration ceremony in White House, and it's just rubbish.
Well, we're just
not
in case
that I'm negative about everything.
Well, it's a viewpoint, isn't it?
There are some things that we're really happy about. I mean, the guy earlier, you know, discussing growing the lemon or whatever.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, it's beautiful. You just think, that's fantastic. It makes me think, oh, yeah, I don't do anything that useful with my life. How gorgeous. And he was so passionate about it. It's great.
He made me want to grow lemons.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. Well, won't, but it did make me
I'm sure
to.
Tom will be delighted about that. We are joined in the studio by Chumbawamba. And I used to call you Chumbawamba.
Mm. Like many people.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. At least it's how you write it down that's the important thing, really.
And Chumbawamba are Phil on accordion. Phil, you're one of the voices in the background at the moment, aren't you, Phil?
Yes.
Neil, who's also there towards the background,
hiya,
who plays guitar. Jude on vox.
Yep.
And Lou on vox.
Uh-huh.
And Boff on vox.
Yep.
Well, it's a delight to have you all in. Are we going to manage to squeeze another song out of you, do you think?
Yeah.
If we ask nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a 47 minute number. That'll take us nicely up to the next
minute. That'll do. I've never been called Steve Cram before.
It's nice that Steve Cram is one of those people, though, that everybody likes.
Yeah,
so that's nice.
Yeah.
Along with Michael Palin.
Now it's been pointed out.
It looks like my decorator.
It could have been Brendan Foster. Come on. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mm. This is an old Clash song that we've reworked.
Daddy was a bank robber, but he never hurt nobody. He just loved to live that way, and he loved to steal your money. Some is rich and some is poor, and that's the way the world is. But I don't believe in lying back and saying how bad your luck is. Daddy was a bank robber, but he never hurt nobody. He just loved to live that way, and he loved to steal your money. So we came to jazz it up. We never loved a shovel. Break your back to earn your pay, and don't forget to grovel. Daddy was a bank robber, but he never hurt nobody. He just loved to live that way, and he loved to steal your money. Imagine if all the boys in jail could get out now together. What do you think they'd want to say to us while we were being clever? Daddy was a bank robber, but he never hurt nobody. He just loved to live that way, and he loved to steal your money. Daddy was a bank robber, but he never hurt nobody. He just loved to live that way, and he loved to steal your money.
Whoa!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Oh, do you think we could get another song out of you before we...
What are you laughing?
We'll come back to that. So I wanted to ask you, tub thumping, right? How on earth do you get away with saying "Sing the Night Away" and getting all that radio play?
I don't know.
It was an issue, wasn't it, for a couple of weeks, right at the very beginning?
It was.
Mm. When Radio 1 were toying with the idea of not playing it.
Mm. And very early on. When we did Top of the Pops, it sort of went, thing.
Yeah.
That did a kind of weird sort of...
Yeah. Well, they asked if we would change it for Top of the Pops, and we said no.
So they
tried sort of dipping it.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I guess it's just... It's almost... Because it's not... It's a section of the song, and it kind of... A great deal isn't made of it, is it? It's just, it's there and it's gone. So it's almost like one of those things where you say, did she just say what
but
I think she
said?
But it's
not really swearing nowadays,
not
is
really,
it, really?
No.
I mean, obviously, you obviously can't say it at this time of day in a radio station, presumably.
Well, I played it the other week, and we're going to play it now, so...
And I bet nobody rang in and complained.
No, right. No, I mean, people sing it all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a catchy song.
Well, people
course,
do it.
Yeah. They do. What's it all about?
Alfie.
Drinking.
Yeah.
No, it's just about resilience.
Yeah. Because it's from an album of songs which were about, basically about Leeds, about different things in Leeds and what it is about ordinary people's lives and that is political and that has some resonance in the world and everything. And that was just one song which was about the idea that, you know, a lot of people, they work all week and they go out on a weekend and get, you know, completely drunk and... fall over and get back up again and get on with their lives and that no matter how much people can be sort of ground down, that we do all have this sense of fighting back and resilience and getting up again. And we wanted to do something celebratory rather than something which was just, you know, slagging George Bush off or whatever.
So when the you know, the spotlight was on you and you became such a big international act, was that, how did you feel about that pressure? Was it pressure?
A little bit, but not massively. I mean, I can totally see how, in that scenario, you could just get totally swept up in it and start believing it. Because, you know, for a very short period of time, you know, everything you do, people are interested in it. And you could get an overinflated sense of your own importance. And I think we managed not to do that because we sort of...
Because we're great.
Because we know how wonderful we are anyway. No, but because it's... We sort of knew it was ridiculous and we also knew it wouldn't last. And so I think we approached it with an attitude of, this is an interesting and bizarre circumstance we find ourselves in and we'll make the most of it and get out of it. You know, we'll have a good time doing it. And pretty much... We did. I mean, you know, it was chaotic. You know, we were forever not quite knowing what was happening around us, but it was an adventure.
Dolly Parton asked us for our autographs.
Yeah, we had a photo taken with Dolly Parton, so I mean, and she
was
lovely.
That's the main thing that came out of it,
really. When I tell people about our year and a half of fame, and I go, and I had my picture taken with Dolly Parton, they're like, really?
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The rest of it
her.
Was pretty rubbish, but that sort of 30 seconds was good,
Obviously, some of your fans go back to... I mean, we talked about the political tendency, so there are fans who've said, well, you've sold out, you joined EMI, what's going on with this band? They're supposed to be, you know, saviours of the socialist world.
Well, I think that I think a lot of people on the left, you know, I totally agree with how we go about things in the sense that that our version of radical politics and libertarian ideas is that firstly you enjoy yourself, you go out there and you try and talk to ordinary people and you don't do it in a sort of hectoring way or in a here, read this pamphlet, it's got loads of big words in it you might not understand. That everything has to be put into modern culture and it's if revolution or whatever, you know, people's vision is, if that's going to happen, then it's going to happen because we're fired up and excited and having fun doing it, not because we're badgered into it or that we're in denial or that we do things because we think we're meant to. And it's got to be fun and it's got to be exciting, and part of that is change and challenging yourself and getting up and doing something, and that's basically what we've always done.
Well, the new album's got Roy Bailey on, for example, and it's got Yorkshire Brass on it, so you haven't lost your roots at all. And I would say you haven't lost your roots in terms of being, you know, into your agitating and your, you know, putting a stick into authority. I would say you haven't lost your roots. Where are Chumbawamba going then?
Well, don't know.
Do you have a master plan?
No, we don't. We have a sort of master plan for about, you know, 2 months or 3 months at a time, really, or possibly 6 months if we're really organised. So there's not often an absolute overarching vision, but it's a sort of project to project, really. I mean, it's like what Boff was saying about fun. It's, you know, if you draw up a 5-year plan that you've got to stick to, you might suddenly find by year two that actually you don't like this 5-year plan, you don't want to stick to it anymore, so... You know, we don't want to be attaching ourselves to something, you know, making ourselves follow a path that we don't want to follow. So having fun is still the main part of it.
Well, you're playing live. You've got a brand new album out. So boy bands, not too keen?
No.
Not really.
It's not just because...
They're not for me, though.
They're rubbish or anything, because that would be too easy. It's because they represent this sort of... the death of a sort of vibrancy about culture where it was all about people, you know, getting things together, getting music together themselves and getting out and having to slog around for a few years trying to impress people and write their own songs. And whereas now it's just all stage school people who come through TV shows and stuff like that.
Well, we've had quite a few texts through, some people saying why don't they do more of this stuff. That's people who are talking about Tub Thumping, the stuff that you've been singing on the show. Absolutely fantastic, great stuff, love it. I wasn't a Chumba fan, but I am now. And we've a message.
Are you making these up?
No,
is this real?
No, I'm not.
That's my mum.
That's really sweet.
I think your music is cool. It's the first time I've heard of you. It's great that Lionheart Radio is playing this.
It is.
You're part of my family now in Canada. Hello there. That's Betty.
I thought
What's
Betty
was in Canada.
That's
doing?
Brilliant.
We're off to Canada. Aren't we?
Yeah, we're in Canada next.
Well, once you get over the hills with the radio waves,
okay, it's just a clear signal all the way across to the Rockies. Yeah. Well, tell them we'll be in Edmonton next summer.
You tell them.
Well, yeah, we're going around Betty's for tea, actually.
Yeah.
Because she'll have got her own lemon trees growing by then, so can have a big lemon meringue at Betty's next year.
It's sounding good.
It's a date.
So what do you reckon? Another one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want it.
Hard times. Yeah, all right, yeah.
Ooh. Is that okay?
Yeah. Got any swearing
in
there,
has it?
You've been very well behaved, I have to say. Apart from the Steve Cram word.
That's two words. Okay, yeah. This is a version of an old, a lovely old song that used to be done by this family called the Copper Family from Sussex or somewhere like that, and they... it used to be a very sort of agricultural song about England, and we've changed it and updated it, and it's called Hard Times of Old England. It's a shame when you find that the cynical view is not only cynical, it's also true. Why have one Tory party when you can have two? Sing all the hard times of old England. In old England, very hard times. The trains and the buses, they're never on time. But shareholders tell me the profits are fine. If we sing out of tune, it's the leaves on the line. Sing all
the hard times of old England. In old England, very hard times. There's war, there's homelessness, crime and debt. But just when you think that's as bad as it gets, take that, make a comeback. Peter Mandelson will be next. Sing all the hard times of old England. In old England, very hard times. We are the party who'll get rid of sleaze. We've got lordships and knighthoods for a suitable fee. A working class peer or with something to be. Sing all the hard times of old England. In old England, very hard times.
One more time.
Sing all the hard times of old England. In old England, very hard times.
Thank you very much.
Marvellous, guys. Marvellous. Were you making some of that up there, Bob?
No.
It just always sounds like that.
I was chopping verses down there when I was working out which swear words they had in it.
We started and I thought, oh my goodness, there's a bad word in the last verse.
That was a strange version, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I like the Peter Mandelson, very contemporary there.
Yeah. Or was that was thinking on his feet. In. That was absolutely thinking on his feet, I could tell.
I was going to say, was that from way back then, you know?
Because you had a few comebacks.
Yeah, that's true. More comebacks than...
than...
a wrestler's
jobstrap. No, not...
Bride's Nighty. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, more comebacks than Frank Sinatra.
Than Peter Mandelson.
Oh, yeah, than Peter Mandelson, yeah. Can I tell you my Peter Mandelson, probably apocryphal story?
Yes,
when he was, when he was MP for Hartlepool, or was canvassing to become MP for Hartlepool, and he was out among the people... kind of trying to have the common touch and doing a sort of walkabout thing, and he was in a fish and chip shop and you know, and he was talking to the man and he served him his fish and chips and he pointed at the mushy peas and said, and I'll have some of that guacamole as well.
You made that up.
Well, I've heard it several times. No, it's probably it's probably not true, but you so want it to be true.
Who knows? We'll have to get him in on the programme.
Absolutely, see what he
says.
That
would be a double bill, wouldn't it? Peter Mandelson and Chumbawamba.
Yes.
I think we could put you this side of the mic then, couldn't we?
That'd
ask
be great,
some questions.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Get yourselves on question time.
Oof.
Okay, maybe not.
We'd get on more than question time, believe me.
Yeah.
Well, we could stay all afternoon. Well, where have you got to get to? You have got to get somewhere.
We
so where can people catch you tonight?
Well, they can catch us just down the road at the Annick Playhouse. Is it called the Playhouse? Yes, it is, at the Playhouse. There you go. On stage, 7:30.
7:30 at the Playhouse. And when was that? You've been here before.
We have. We were just talking about it on the way up when it was. I think it was about maybe three years ago,
yeah.
Possibly. Something like that.
So
it
this
like
is...
a, only yesterday.
It does.
It's a golden opportunity to catch you tonight. Do you get much of a chance to go round Annick and Northumberland? Have you had a look around the castle? And
well, we came straight to the radio station when we got here, because we're such professionals, but we might have a little wander around now.
But in the past, we've all
been
round here. And Yeah, it's lovely round here.
Mm.
Any particular favourite spots?
Last time I came here, the campsite were flooded. So I
We've had a lot of that.
Right.
We have had a lot of that.
Yeah.
Well, I recommend if you like...
How far are we from Bamborough here?
Oh, not far. It's just up the coast, yeah. Just
that
up the coast. You could go up the A1 and... Yep, beautiful.
What
beautiful beach as well. Well, I was going to say there's some great places like Linup Spout, which is down Ingram Valley Way. We could show you on a map anyway. Oh.
You suddenly started talking a foreign language.
You did.
You're making it up now.
Well, actually, my accent's a little bit of a moot point because I spent quite a lot of time in Nottingham, which is where I think we played a festival with you way back at the Rock and Reggae.
Oh, now you tell us.
Yonks ago.
Excellent.
Well, that would have been myself in our rather eccentric rock outfit, The Age. So we used to play quite a lot of...
The Age? Really? Can you remember that?
The Age?
Terrible.
Absolutely awful, yeah. Yeah. They were all bearded, remember?
No.
They all had really long beards and dungarees.
Didn't they all look like different long-distance runners?
Absolutely, yeah. But with the beards.
Moving swiftly on.
Oh, dear. Phil, Neil, Jude, Lou and Bob from Chumbawamba.
Sorry if you call the age. It would be too easy when you get old for people to call you the aged.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Well, we were going to nick bags from Help the Aged.
Oh, excellent. See, that's a nice moral thing to do, going to steal bags from Help the Aged.
Charity.
We didn't nick them, really.
Listeners, he's blushing again.
I think we're going to have to... we could keep you in and have another song.
Oh, no, we need to go and do some sightseeing.
Okay, we'll let you go and sightsee. Well, thanks very much for coming in. It's been
thanks
a pleasure to have
us.
You. It was beautiful singing. And, of course, people can catch you tonight at the Playhouse, 7.30 be on stage. And next time you're up, pop back in and we'll work out who I look like then.
Next
Thank
time
you.
With no jeans on.
See you guys, and this is, of course, Chumbawamba and Tub Thumpin'.